Proverbs 11, verse 16. A gracious woman gets honor, and violent men get riches. Verse 22 of chapter 11. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. And then Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she lasts at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading and the application of his infallible, inerrant word. Amen. I've been a part of two funerals in the last week of two godly, virtuous women. Some of you remember Winnie Paul, who was a member here, longstanding, and moved on to our new church plant in Solemn Springs with her family. But I was part of that service. And then shortly after, that memorial was scheduled, and just prior to that, our dear, beloved Shirley Tuning passed. And in the midst of sermon preparation, I was scheduled to preach straight through the first part of chapter 11. And as I thought about Shirley, I couldn't get past verse 16. Where it says a gracious woman gets honor. It's a comparison proverb. The second part of the verse, you first say, why is that verse like that? It says a gracious woman gets honor, violent men get riches. Why is that? It's not an antithesis proverb like most of the proverbs, where it says one thing and then it seems to juxtapose that with the opposite trait of someone unrighteousness. Here, it's a comparison. It's simply saying a gracious woman gets honored like a violent man takes riches suddenly. They simply receive it and get it because of the grace that is at work in them. 1116a speaks of the kind of woman who gets that honor bestowed upon them. Again, in those two funerals, the thoughts were about these gracious ladies who had devoted their lives to their husbands and to their families, to their work, and to their work of service to the Lord and the church. And it was recognized. And though they were dead, they still spoke. Many of you have had a godly parent, mother. Many of us have had godly mothers, and many of us have had godly grandmothers and great-grandmothers, and some of them are legendary in their influence and their goodness. And you can think of those. And that is the picture painted for us in terms of the gracious woman receiving honor. As we look at the end, again, sometimes people are surprised. The book of Wisdom ends with this extolling of a gracious woman and what a gracious woman character is. But it shouldn't surprise you, because the whole book of Proverbs is the admonition of a woman of wisdom, a woman of dignity, a woman of honor to her son, not to be foolish, and warning against the woman of folly and what will happen as a result of following her ways. But in this first point, I want to focus on the woman of honor. What kind of woman is it who gets honor? Well, the Bible is full of examples. Your own personal memory and thoughts and present experience perhaps can think of examples of that. But the best illustrations are always the ones that come from the Bible. And there are so many, where do you begin to pick? I think of one like Solomon's great-great-great-grandmother, maybe another great in there, I'm not sure, Ruth. The Moabitess. She wasn't even a native of Israel. She wasn't even Jewish. But she came to Bethlehem. She came across the Jordan River to Bethlehem. And she attached herself to Naomi, who was a godly woman, a woman of character. And when her sisters go back across the river, Naomi tells her, you should go back too, because I can't take care of you. I can't afford to take care of you. She says, no, I'm going to stay with you. And my God and your God shall be my God, and your people my people. A great example of a faithful woman who is a foreigner, who is put into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Couldn't help but think of near examples to Solomon. Think of his father, David. Not a great example for a family man, but he did some things right. When he was about to murder in retaliation, a fool named Nabal was his name, because of his mistreatment, Nabal had a wife who was a gracious lady named Abigail, and she went out and pleaded with David not to do harm to her husband. And brings him the provisions that he needed for himself and his soldiers. And David cries out to her, blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and for trying to bring salvation out of my own hand. We know the story. Nabal is judged, he dies, and Abigail becomes David's wife. There are many others in the Bible, like Esther, who was a Jew in exile in Persia. A gracious woman, through the strangest of circumstances, elevated to the place where God uses her to save all the Jews from a plot to destroy them. Or like the woman in Matthew 26, who I firmly believe is Mary, because of what it says in Luke's gospel, chapter 10. I think it's Mary, Mary, the sister of Martha, who takes an expensive jar of perfume and breaks it and pours it out on Jesus' feet. And all the disciples are offended and say, why are you wasting this substance on Jesus? And Jesus very clearly says, this woman, whenever the gospel is preached, this woman and her act is going to be remembered. I believe it's Mary, the sister of Martha, because over in Luke 10:42, we learn that it's Mary who sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she learned the better part. And she probably, of all the disciples, actually listened to Jesus when he said he must suffer and die on the cross and then be on the third day be raised from the dead. She knew. She was the definition of a gracious woman. And there are many other examples. Some more obscure examples are in Luke chapter 8 when you meet Joanna and Susanna, who gave financial support to the Lord Jesus and his ministry, to Lord Jesus and his disciples in his ministry. So those are examples of women who get honor. Then there's the opposite. You know, most of the time we just want to, I've been told that you should just emphasize positive things and you shouldn't be negative. But even in our text, there's this description of someone who lacks discretion in verse 22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. It's unseemly. It's not right. Stated exactly opposite of 11 verse 16, rather, and that's the one I'm going to spend some time on, verse 4 of chapter 12 that I read. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. It's tempting as a preacher just to dwell on the excellent wife and the excellent woman. But the book of Proverbs doesn't do that. If you're faithful to the whole book, you have to look at the woman of wisdom in contrast to the woman of folly. And the application is, listen to the woman of wisdom. Be like the woman of wisdom. Don't listen to the woman folly and be like her. And note in this verse, it is the woman who gets dishonor is the one who brings shame. And the description of that shame, it's like rottenness to the bone. Again, this woman is talked about throughout this book of Proverbs. Folly is personified as an immoral, spiteful, conniving, indiscreet woman. She, in chapter 14, verse 1, is described as a woman who tears down her own house. Again, we go to the scriptures for examples. Book of Genesis. We don't even know her name. She's just known to us as Potiphar's wife. Potiphar was chief of staff of the mighty nation of Egypt. And Joseph is landed in the prison that Potiphar oversees. And he's released on probation, and Potiphar's wife very famously shames her husband by seeking to seduce Joseph. And you know Potiphar knew her behavior, because if he thought that Joseph was guilty of the charge, he would have been put to death summarily. You should think about that when you read that story. Or someone shortly after Solomon's time, women like Jezebel, King Ahab's wife, who worshipped idols and led the whole nation away, and most famously conspired with her wicked husband to steal Nabob's vineyard for his own enrichment and hers. Or another Jezebel in the book of Revelation from Thyatira, who led a whole church away. What do they all have in common is that they bring shame. The good news of the gospel is this. Every single sinner, and that's every single human being, shares the shame and the guilt of our first parents, Adam and Eve. You know, when they sinned against God, what was their first instinct? Their first instinct was to run away and hide. Because it says they were naked and they were ashamed because of their guilt of infidelity to the Lord and doing what he had forbidden them not to do, of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the truth of the gospel is that every single one of us participated in that and are covered in shame in exactly the same way. And our only release and our only escape is through the grace of the Lord Jesus, the seed of the woman that is promised, that will one day crush the head of the serpent. We live in a world that exalts and glories in shame and entices this generation with shameful things. But the good news of the gospel is there is redemption for anyone who would return to Christ. We read John 4 is a call to worship, that the Lord is seeking those who will worship him. He's speaking worshipers that will worship him in spirit and truth. And that comes after an interview that the Lord Jesus has with a woman at the well. She's covered with shame. She has five husbands. She's currently living with another man. And every one of his disciples is just shocked that Jesus would even talk to this woman. But she understands. After a long dialogue, after him exposing her sin and her guilt, come and see, she said, a man who's told me everything that I've done. Come and be forgiven. And then this is why Jesus says, the Lord is seeking people who worship him in spirit and truth. You're not fated to be, and by the way, this is not just applicable to women. It's the way you should read this is men and women, because we are all covered in shame and guilt. So if I hope I don't give that impression. We are all, this is, like all of Scripture, sometimes Scripture speaks to men, and it's speaking to everybody. The way that we get out of our shame and our guilt is by turning to the Lord. Rahab was a prostitute, another foreigner who lived in Jericho. And God used her to deliver Israel. And the walls came tumbling down, and she makes it into the genealogy of Christ as well. God takes those who are covered in shame, covered in guilt, and he redeems them. And then finally we come to the ultimate Mother's Day text. How many sermons have you heard on Proverbs 31? I hope a lot, because it's worth reading over and over and meditating over and over. But what does it say? Who is this godly woman, Proverbs 31, that Solomon, some say it's King Lemuel. I think that may be another name for Solomon, but it's later in the series, so we'll get to it. An excellent wife. Who can find her? She's far more precious than jewels. She receives ultimate praise. The thread of the woman of virtue and standing runs all the way through Proverbs, just parallel to the woman of folly. And the temptation for a preacher is always on Mother's Day, well, I'm going to preach a moralistic sermon that will immediately put a whole bunch of women under a pile of guilt. And if you read every one of these traits and you measure yourself by this, it will leave you that way. But it would be wrong to limit this application merely to women. This applies whether you are a man or a woman, an adult or a child, whether you are married or whether you're single. These truths apply to everyone. If you're part of the bride of Christ, this is what your life should reflect. It's such an incredibly beautiful poem. There are 22 points in this sermon from chapter 10, verse 10 rather, chapter 31 to verse 31. The way it's structured in Hebrew is every verse begins with the next letter of the alphabet. So it's the ABCs of godliness from a Hebrew alphabet. How the Holy Spirit, it's a miracle of the Holy Spirit that this thing is crafted like it is. Let's just go through it quickly. An excellent wife. An excellent wife. She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts her. I tell couples every time I do premarital counseling that trust is the foundation of your marriage. When your trust is broken, your marriage is broken. And it is something to be guarded and kept. And here you see it. And I say this to men and women. The heart of his wife trusts in her. It must be a mutual thing. There'll be no lack of gain. She does her husband good all the days of his life. Again, I think of Abigail, who did good to David by keeping him from murdering someone. We need people like this in our life. She seeks wool and flax. She works with her hands. I don't know about you, but I still, in the winter, I have this afghan my godly grandmother made with her hands. She would just sit with her. She was talking. She talked a lot, and she crocheted a lot. And I have these incredible coverings on our bed that we use. I mean, I think of that. Those are how old am I? 50, over 50 years old. The legacy that godliness leaves. Thirty-one, fourteen. She's like ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. Solomon, who was the author here, was famous for building a fleet of ships and carry on trade, and made Israel, and during his reign, one of the wealthiest nations, if not the wealthiest nation on the earth at the time. And this woman who carries out her business is like that. She's up early. She provides food and portions for her household. She's got her real estate license, verse 16. This is an amazing woman, right? Considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She gardens on top of that. She dresses herself with strength. She works out. She makes her arms strong. She works out. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp doesn't go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and weaves her own fabric. Again, this picture of graciousness: opens her hand to the poor, reaches out to the needy, not afraid of snow, because she's clothed them in expensive clothing. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is linen, fine linen and purple. Husband is known in the gates. She enables him to go to presbytery, sit with elders. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She speaks wisdom, teaches kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household. And her children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband also. And he says to her, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. There's a lesson there, men, for you. Praise your wife. Encourage her. Thank her for all she does. It's a lesson for you, children, to do the same for your mothers. We live in a world that has totally degraded the office of motherhood to the point that we have Supreme Court justices who can't even define womanhood. That's shocking to me, that such a thing could take place. It's because the Church of Jesus Christ has failed to teach the truth about God and man. And man made in the image of God, male and female. And the result of succumbing to the lies of Satan in this world, who hate God. Speaks of deceitful charm. That's actually the way it reads in Hebrew. It's deceitful charm and vain beauty. That's the way it reads. You may have memorized it. Young women, you should memorize it. Men, young men, you should memorize it too. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Just saying, men can be deceitfully charming too. And men can be vain about their appearance too. God told Samuel through God through Samuel told everyone about David, don't look at the outside. God doesn't judge by the outward appearance. God judges the heart. And so should you. Your main attraction to, if you're single, your main attraction to someone else should not be the external. That to say that it's not a factor would be a lie, but that because that's the way God made us as well. But your main attraction should always be godliness. Because beauty will fade. Wittiness will get old. My wife will tell you, she used to think I was charming and witty, and she doesn't think my jokes are that funny anymore. It'll get old. What will never grow old and will never fail is the fear of God and keeping His commandments. What is the fear of God? What is the fear of God? It begins with knowing how much a perfect, holy God hates sin. The book of Proverbs begins and ends with this challenge to fear God. It says, the fear of God in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And here at the end of Proverbs, a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. He's no doubt calling upon the law of God, Deuteronomy chapter 10. What does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God and walk in His ways with all of your heart and with all of your soul? That's the fear of God. Do you have that in your life? I'd ask you, mother, whether you're a mother, whether you're not a mother, a man, whether you're a child, whether you're married or single, I'd ask you, do you have the fear of God in your life? The Lord Jesus taught us, don't fear men. They can only kill you. That's the worst thing they can do to you. Fear the one who, can, after he's killed you, can judge you eternally. Casting both your, he can kill your body and then he can throw your soul into hell forever. Fear him. And he is a gracious, loving God to all who will turn to him and trust in him. What makes a saint great, what makes a woman of God great is the fear of the Lord. It transforms character. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of everything. If you have the fear of the Lord, it will change you, how you act, how you live, and every relationship you do. We live in a culture, in a world that has completely abandoned the fear of God. And as a result, we have the consequence of rebellion. The good news is God is gracious. God is patient. He gives every one of us time to repent and turn to Him. I would urge you, if you have not, repent, turn to Him, put your trust in Him. Seek His forgiveness and His grace through the Lord Jesus, and He will change you. And He will give you the ability to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, which is so plain about this basic issue of what it means to be godly, whether it's a man or a woman or a child, for all of us who have put our faith and trust in You. Father, give us grace to understand it and give us grace to change from what we are now to what we ought to be in Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.